You know, we're not the only people that live in politically charged times. There's been a lot of enthusiasm and heated discussions and debates about our recent elections. And in some ways, we've been divided as Americans. That is not unlike the situation Jesus was in. Jesus was dealing with a politically charged atmosphere. It was politically charged in a number of ways. They were an occupied nation. But within the nation of Israel, there was a lot of politics in what we would call the church or the synagogue in the religious institution. And there were primarily two parties. There were really three or four. But the two primary parties were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And then along comes this young upstart named Jesus. And probably if you had pollsters back then, you would have found out that the people were moving towards this man Jesus. They were more interested in what he had to say than either the scribes or the Pharisees or the Sadducees. And so they saw him as a political threat. And in this 20th chapter, there are a couple of incidences where people are trying to trip up Jesus. We watch political debates. And I don't know how you feel about this, but I get so tired of things happening in our country and have to hear news commentators and five experts tell us what they just said. You know, I was sitting there. I heard it. I had an opinion one way or the other. But everything that's done in our country, you've got to have commentators telling you all about it. This is what it really means. Did you notice when he said this or they said that? Well, they were watching every word, every action of this man named Jesus. And he really was a threat to them because people were lining up following this new man with his new authority, this new sense of what worshiping God is all about. And so they tried to trip him up. And the scripture we have this morning is the Sadducees playing a little game with Jesus. Now, notice that when Luke wrote this gospel, he let us know that they didn't believe in the resurrection. So what do? They ask Jesus a resurrection question. And, you know, they're following the law, but they're just playing a political game, hoping to trip him up. That their idea of religion was not so much the pure worship of God as playing little mind games and theological games with each other and arguing with the parties within the faith. And so they felt, well, if we can trip him up, we'll disturb what he's doing. And if he answers our way, we'll have something to go against the Pharisees with. And so they put this rather ridiculous situation to Jesus about marrying this wife, marrying one brother after another, and they're all in heaven and wanting to know now, whose wife is she? She was married to all of these brothers. And we hear Jesus wisely say, those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of a place in that age, in the resurrection from the dead, neither marry or are given in marriage. Jesus just cuts right to the heart of things. He's affirming, really, the Pharisaical side, that there is a resurrection. But he's saying the way we look at life in this world is not the way God looks at life in this world or the next. God looks at us in a very unique way. God sees us not just from our time-limited journey here on earth, But he sees us as creatures who started with him spiritually and will be with him spiritually again to face the judgment. Whether we're deemed good enough to go in to the kingdom of God or are condemned to hell. But God's perspective is much bigger than that. And he was saying to the Sadducees, you know, it's not about these little legalities that you like to argue about. It's not like these issues where you try to take sides with each other and make a big deal out of this side or the other. You have to change your minds, and I want you to think in a bigger, broader way about what my kingdom is all about. And Jesus tells us that if we're fortunate enough, we will be the children of God. That we are children of the resurrection. That we're not limited by what just happens in the life of this church or any church here. That we are to live to Him. That we're not to live to the moment. We're not to live to the political situations of the day. We're not to live for our future and maybe our retirement and our well-being to kick back and take it easy, although I don't know that many people who are kicking back and taking it all that easy. But he wants us to think in eternal kingdom terms about quality of life, quality of our lives, whether we're truly living as his children to make him proud. So that when people see us, they praise God for the God they see in us. Are we living to Him that way? He wants us to take a perspective that we believe in the power of this Jesus to overcome sin and death, to free us from the limitations of this world. And then we'll be children of the resurrection because we live in a new power. We live with resurrection power. We live with a new outlook on life that doesn't allow the things of this world to pull us down or so occupy us that we forget about what God wants because we're living to Him and we become children of the resurrection. When people see us, do they see us living in a power, and they wonder where that power comes from, and we have a chance to witness to them what really motivates us, what really drives us, what really helps us to enjoy life and get the most out of life and make a difference in this life? Are we children of the resurrection? Through Christ Jesus, that's what He's offering to us. When we come to the table today, to partake of the body and blood of Christ, the mystery of how God just transforms ordinary grape juice and bread into His body and His blood. We don't have to be like the Sadducees and the Pharisees again and argue over, well, how does God do that? Theologians have been arguing that for centuries. It's not important how God does it. Do you believe God has done something remarkable in Jesus Christ, so that when you come forward and you take that bread and you dip it in the cup and you put it in your mouth, Jesus becomes real to you, present in you, as His promise to you that you're children of the resurrection. That ordinary grape juice, that ordinary bread that you can buy at almost any supermarket is transformed into something that can transform your life. So you can look at the world with kingdom eyes. You can think in the eternal realm of things. In the midst of our struggles and controversies and life issues, we can rise above them because God is transforming us daily to be more like Christ Jesus. Well, Jesus promises if we come forward by faith and receive that bread and that juice by faith, He will reassure us. We will be connected with the eternal. We will be equipped to see the world in kingdom eyes that rise above religious parties and political parties, above rich and poor, to see the world through kingdom eyes. I don't know about you, but I want to be able to look at the world that way. I don't want to be discouraged by what I see in the world. I want it to be lifted up and to be able to embrace that world because I'm in touch with its creator who will redeem it and make it clean and make it whole and restore all of the brokenness of the world when one day he will bring his peace and he will rule on earth as in heaven. Are you living to him so that you can look at the world with kingdom eyes? After Jesus had spoken these words, after he had confounded their little trickery and game playing, it says they no longer dared to ask him another question. God isn't interested in our little game playing in life or in the church. He's interested in one thing and one thing only. Are we living to him? Are we living to bring glory to his name? Are we looking at the world with kingdom eyes? Let us pray that we are indeed children of God and children of the resurrection. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Father, give us the eyes of your Son, Christ Jesus, that we could look at the world with kingdom eyes, that we can look at people very different from us, people with whom we have great disagreements, and see them as people you love and care for. Lord God, there's so many things that divide us. We need to look to Christ Jesus, the gift of his body and his blood to us, to bring about a unity in us in the life of this church, that we can move forward with one vision and unity of love and spirit. And if we can do that here, then there's a chance for our community and our state and our nation and maybe even one day for our world. Help us to give up, be willing to give up some of the petty things that divide us and look to the things that unite us in Christ Jesus as we come to be one with him this day. Instill his holy presence in each of us, for we claim it in Jesus' name. Through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.